I remember after I came back to the faith in college that I was zealous for the Lord, and I wanted to share with others this newfound joy that I had. But I had no idea how to do it. And so what I decided to do was to talk to the people I knew, and I started in exactly the wrong place. I started by telling them the rules, the do's and don'ts of being Catholic, the things you should do, the things you shouldn't do. And as you can imagine, nobody likes to be told that they're wrong or told what to do. And so the people that I tried this with did not receive it very well. They weren't too happy about it. And so I got a little frustrated and confused and disappointed, thinking, you know, Lord, what's going on? I mean, I'm trying to help other people to have this experience, have this joy of the Catholic faith, and it's just not working. And even in my prayer, I couldn't figure out what was going wrong or why my relationship or why my zeal was present. And it's because of relationship. That's where I should have started. That's where I came back to the faith, was encountering the Lord in prayer, was getting to know him personally, being able to learn to listen to his voice and inspirations, to have a relationship with God. That's what I should have used as the starting point to try to help others come to the faith. But instead, I got kind of caught up in the rules, the things that are only a small fraction of what our faith is about. Our faith isn't about do this and don't do that. It's not about the rules. It's about relationship. Our ultimate goal is heaven, being with God forever. And that's about relationship, not a set of rules. Now, the rules are important, and that's part of the relationship, but it's only a small part. The relationship itself is what should be the focus. And when we think about these things, we might recall in our first reading, we heard Moses talk about statutes, decrees, and commands. And he's encouraging the people of Israel to follow these things. But this is right before they enter into the promised land. This is right before they get to live where God intended them to live. Prior to that, they already had a relationship with God. God had already revealed himself to Moses. God had already displayed his power through the miracles in Egypt. God had parted the Red Sea, and he had blessed them with miracles in the desert. They were already in relationship when God gave them the statutes, decrees, and commands. And God gave these things for their benefit. But sometimes we just get caught up in those rules and miss the reality of the relationship, the point of the faith. And if we look at our gospel passage, I think that's what happened to the scribes and Pharisees, that they got all caught up in the rules. And they look at Jesus and his disciples and they say, they're not following the tradition of the elders. They're not doing things correctly. And so they go to Jesus and they point that out. Why aren't you doing these things right? Why aren't you following the tradition of the elders? Now, Jesus perfectly fulfilled the commands of the old covenant. It's not that he was breaking the rules of God, but rather, the scribes and Pharisees, they added additional rules. They were trying to guarantee that a person would not make a mistake and violate the covenant. So if you did these things that they added, then you would be safe and make sure that you don't make that mistake of contradicting the old covenant. But they weren't the rules of God. And so Jesus points out that they're clinging to human tradition. Other human beings came up with these additional rules that Jesus and his disciples were not necessarily following. And the Pharisees were confused and upset about it. They reduced the faith to the rules, and they were missing the relationship. Jesus even points this out. He calls them out on their hypocrisy. And he points to Isaiah. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They would say the right things that they're supposed to say. They would do the right things that they were supposed to do, but they were just merely fulfilling the external expectations. But their hearts and minds were not there. They weren't really in relationship with God. They would do these things to be seen by other people, so that other people would think, oh, those Pharisees, those scribes, they're so holy. They do all of the things that they're supposed to. But that's not the point of the faith. The point is relationship. And Jesus wanted to call them back to that reality, the reality of relationship. Just imagine if this was the way we treated other people, or if other people treated us this way. If they came to us and they said all the right things, but you could tell that in their voice they were lacking enthusiasm, or they didn't really mean what they were saying and they were thinking about something completely different. Even though the words are there, their hearts aren't in it. Or similarly with actions, doing the right things at the right time, but they don't really mean it. Maybe they extend their hand to shake yours, but you could tell by the expression on their face that they're not really interested in getting to know you or to shake your hand, or they don't really care, even though they're doing the thing that they're supposed to do, you know, try to shake someone's hand to be polite. If it's empty, then it's missing the point. And that's kind of what the Pharisees were doing. Sometimes it's like treating God like a vending machine. Not as a person or persons, of like, well, I put in all of these prayers, and so I asked for the thing that I wanted, and so I get what I want, right? That's how this relationship works. That's what happens. That's not a real relationship. We don't treat any other person like that. Why should we treat God that way? The point of the faith is relationship. Our second reading reminds us about this. St. James reminds us of God's love for us and the things that he would do, that all good things ultimately come from God, and that we are called to be in relationship with God. And one of the things he points out is what true religion is, and he talks about helping widows and orphans. That reveals to us our relationship with God is in part through our relationship with other human beings. If we remember in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told by Jesus, whatever you do to the least of my people, that you do unto me. So when we're relating to God, we do that in part through other people. And St. James reminded us of that in our second reading. And so the point of the faith is relationship. If we think about the saints, if we read the diaries of the saints, like the diary of St. Faustina, she doesn't talk about rules and regulations and commandments. She followed them. But that wasn't what she wrote about. She wrote about her relationship with Jesus, how she encountered the Lord in her daily life. She would write down how she experienced Christ. She wouldn't talk about rules and regulations. That's only a small portion of our faith. God gives us rules. Like any good father who cares about his children and wants what's best for them, he's going to tell them what's best for them. He's going to share with them how they can have a joyful life, how they can live this relationship of love. He's going to tell them what's truly best. And the children, in response, when they know that their father loves them, they're more likely to follow his commands. And the same is true with us and with God. When we know the love of God, when we've encountered God in prayer, when we've met him and have a relationship with him, then it becomes a lot easier to accept what he asks of us, to do what we're told, because we know and we trust that God loves us, and he would only ask us to do what's best for us and tell us to avoid what's truly bad for us. And so rules, regulations, statutes, decrees, commands, that's a part, but in the context of relationship. Relationship with God. And so we have to avoid what the scribes and Pharisees were doing, reducing the faith down to a set of rules. Instead, we need to be mindful of that relationship. And when we're sharing the faith with others, it's best to share that relationship, that joy that we have. And once that relationship grows, once we understand God better and interact with him more, then it's easier to trust, easier to follow. And part of that relationship is prayer. talking to God as we would talk to other people. Part of that relationship is encountering God through each other. It's one of the reasons why we gather every Sunday. And even during the celebration of the Mass, we have an opportunity to live out this relationship. The whole Mass is intended to be a prayer, where we say the words, but our hearts are with those words. We mean what we say. We're not just giving God lip service, like Jesus said the Pharisees were doing. And when we sit, when we stand, when we kneel, shouldn't be empty gestures, but the whole body, the whole person participating in this prayer, in this relationship, in this communication with God. Now, there are different moments during the Mass where there's a pause and there's silence. That's intentional. At the beginning of Mass, I invited us all to recall our sins, and then I waited. And that was an opportunity for all of us to recall our sins and to present them to God in our hearts before we went through with the confiteor. At other parts of the Mass, there's silence. It's not because I forgot what came next. Rather, it's so that you have the opportunity to pray, having individual prayer in the midst of the communal prayer. During the Eucharistic prayer, I'm going to recall that we're celebrating this Mass for certain persons, but then there's going to be a pause. And during that pause, that's when I present to God in my heart all my personal intentions. And that's an opportunity for everyone present here to present to God all their personal intentions for this celebration of the Mass. And then Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist, truly God, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And after the consecration, there's another moment in the Eucharistic prayer where I pause and we recall our deceased brothers, sisters, friends, family members. And during that pause, that's an opportunity for everyone present here to share with God in the silence of their hearts the names of the people or the groups of people that you'd like to pray for during this celebration. And then we continue. And there are other moments of silence during Mass, and that's an opportunity for personal, individual prayer. In the midst of the context of the celebration of the communal prayer, we have those opportunities for individual prayer to better foster that relationship. So we're in relationship with God individually, but we're also in relationship with God communally. And we want to avoid reducing the faith down to words and actions, rules, regulations. It's only a small fraction of the whole point. And the whole point is to be in relationship with God. That's what heaven is going to be, being in relationship with God for all eternity. But that relationship starts here on earth. And so let us take a moment of silence to pray individually, to share with God what's on our hearts, to work on that relationship with God. And maybe you've never encountered God in prayer. Maybe you've never experienced him before. Share that with him. Lord, I haven't met you. I haven't encountered you. Where are you? Please come into my life. Be a part of this. I feel lonely. I don't understand. Father talks about being in relationship. I've never experienced that. Reveal yourself to me. To open our hearts to the Lord, to work on that relationship. And maybe some of you have already encountered the Lord in prayer. And so your prayer in this next moment of silence will be different. It'll be whatever happens to be on your heart, talking to God about it. Joys, sorrows, pains, sufferings, hopes, dreams. But the point of the faith is relationship. So let's pray in silence, communicating with God, working on that relationship, as we prepare to encounter him in the most holy Eucharist.